Those who are genuine refugees, and that is determined again by the United Nations, will not be returned. Those who are illegal immigrants, will be returned. And it is customary international law for countries to receive their own immigrants back into their country. And if this right honourable gentleman is suggesting that we ever get to a position when you cannot return illegal immigrants to their country of origin, then he is proposing international chaos.
We ignore the fact that 80% of this country is actually white. We are constantly not prepared to ask deeper level questions. When BLM riots happened in 2020, the media coverage, the social media coverage was all asking the question, why? Why do black people feel the way they feel in this country, in America? But no one seems to be prepared to ask these questions towards these group of people. Instead, they want to put them all in a box of crazy white, EDL, far-right people, rather than actually sitting there saying, what has happened to this country? Will Keir Starmer actually wake up and actually do something to this? Or will we turn into France, where this is just going to keep on happening on a regular basis? So,
be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law. The police will be making arrests. Individuals will be held on remand. Charges will follow and convictions will follow.
Labour Party Prime Minister Keir Starmer's pitiful leadership is no different than what we are seeing from other globalist puppets. The native people have clearly had enough after decades of patient cautiousness, wading through the rising totalitarianism of the New World Order's planned invasion of the West.
We will have a standing army of specialist officers, public duty officers, so that we'll have enough officers to deal with this where we need them.
He's just assaulted him there for no reason.
Starmer, a former investigating officer of the Crown Prosecution Service, oversaw the extradition of Julian Assange over bogus rape charges, protected MI5 and MI6 operatives from torture prosecution. Starmer also has a history of bullying journalists with lawfare in order to please his oligarch masters, waging war against any and all that pose a threat to the Trojan horse of the New World Order agenda.
This is not protest.
What do you think of the far-right protest in the UK and the rise of Islamophobia in the UK?
I think that it's exactly what I've been talking about for 2 years now, which is the destabilization project of Europe, which, whether they like it or not, includes the UK. That you will see increasing civil strife, you will see increasing civil unrest, you will see increasing division, violent hatred, factions against factions, militants against militants, and the militants aren't going to be our kind of militants anymore. There's going to be white nationalists. There's going to be all different types. There's going to be from the right wing, there's going to be from the left wing. There's going to be communists, there's going to be anarchists, there's going to be everything. That's environmentalists. All of these things, it's going to get bad, everyone. The people who have created the problem for you also create the narrative and the means of delivering narratives that tell you that the one to blame is always somebody else. It's always not them. It's never the one who's creating the narrative is never the one to blame. And they can control the narrative and they control the propagation of the propaganda to make sure that you think that your problem is caused by this guy or that guy, yeah, or this brown one or that Arab one or that immigrant or that woman or that man or what have you, that leftist, that environmentalist, that right winger. As long as you're never looking at them.
Then there was this, as I say, clash between protesters and the police, and that is when they then ran off across the park here. A big group ran off, looking for trouble, it looked like, to us. So we're just going to step away now from this group behind us, but a lot of disorder here.
Starmer is as deeply embedded in the globalist operation to destabilize the West as one can get. He has paid his dues, done the dirty work, and has been rewarded with power after only receiving 18% of the vote over a country he and his cohorts cannot control. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Tuesday, August 6th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live from Austin, Texas. This is the InfoWars World Headquarters. We've got a big show for you today. We got Lisa Logan at 9 o'clock. We'll be joined by Kirk Elliott. 8:30 time slot. Lots of stuff going on around the world. Of course, we'll get back into the civil war in the UK. Tell you the latest there. We'll play some Kamala Harris videos. And we'll get into what's happening with the so-called Trump-proofing of the U.S. government. The plans, the operations being put into place to guarantee that Trump either never becomes president by sparking a civil war, or if he does become president, to withhold vital information from him and hamstring his entire administration from the get-go. They're doing it quite openly and in a variety of different ways, so we'll show you all of them. We'll get into that and more. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2024. UK riots latest, 30 new rallies on police radar and lawyers' offices threatened, sources say. Another night of violence and disorder involving anti-immigrant rioters with counter-protest in some places is the way Sky News puts it. We'll show you videos you're seeing on screen now, but we have a lot. And spoiler alert. There's a hell of a lot more violence from the mobs of masked Muslims than from the right wing, but they hardly even get a mention in mainstream media. 30 new rallies on police radar and police officers threatened, sources say. Petrol bombs in Belfast and sustained violence in Plymouth. Man seriously hurt in a hate crime. Teenager tells of traumatic moment. Rioters tried to break into home. Foreign states may be spreading disinformation, government warns. Well, we'll give you the real information here in just a minute. I just want to say, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I was talking yesterday, tweeting out, does the far right in England, do they know where their government is? In other words, all you're doing if you're, burning down migrant shelters with people inside is giving fuel to the flame. You're not solving anything. But then again, I don't know, if you go and march on the Capitol and actually try to confront the people that are actually making these decisions and flooding your country with violent foreigners, then I guess it's January 6th 2.0. So UK in a very tight spot right now, very tough position. And we can only hope that by showing the absolute insanity and the comparison between how the police and how the media is treating the peaceful protesters, who actually are just normal people gathering to protest their country being destroyed, versus the mobs of masked up black clad Muslims roaming around attacking people. Then maybe out of this comes some actual decent government programs, and you can solve this through the same mechanism that the problem was caused. We'll get back into that. Meanwhile, scathing report reveals Biden-Harris administration released dozens of migrants who are on the terror watch list into the U.S. Nearly 100 illegal immigrants on the terror watch list have been released into the United States during the Biden administration, while Border Patrol agents have encountered migrants on the watch list from dozens of different countries, a new House report is revealing. Under the Biden-Harris administration, of more than the 250 illegal aliens on the terrorist watch list who were encountered by Border Patrol at the southwest border between fiscal years 21 and 23, DHS has released into American communities at least 99, with at least 34 others in DHS custody, but not yet removed from the United States. And yes, as we get closer to the election, the Biden administration is pretending to actually care about the migrant problems that they've caused for the last 4 years. And so we'll see more stories about this. Biden-Harris clamping down on the border as if they couldn't do that the whole time. It shows that they know that people hate their policies, and that if their policies were ever legitimately discussed on mainstream media, nobody would vote for them. And so they have to just pretend for a couple months here to trick the gullible people. Meanwhile, Harris poised to name running mate and launch multi-state tour. Vice President Harris holed up at her residence at the Naval Observatory on Monday to finalize the selection of her running mate, perhaps the biggest decision of her nascent campaign, as plans. What's that? Has he been chosen? Oh, it's Walt. It's Tim Walz. All right. This must have broken minutes ago. All right, Tim Walz, we'll cover that then if the crew can print a story of that. All right, Daily Dispatch in real time. Finally, we have this on the Ukrainian front. Ukraine is crossing another Russian red line. Russian military bloggers are downplaying the threat that F-16s delivered to Ukraine posed to Moscow's forces, contradicting earlier concerns voiced by pro-invasion forces that a red line had been crossed for the Kremlin. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Sunday that the long-awaited F-16s had been received, and he thanked Denmark, the Netherlands, and the U.S. This is fulfilling a pledge by President Joe Biden for the U.S. to allow allies to supply the American planes and help train the pilots. Kiev has so far received 10 out of the 79 jets, according to Economist, which noted Ukrainian pilots could be flying twice as many as that by the end of the year. Will this make a difference? No. Will this mean that the Ukraine will now be victorious in this conflict? No, absolutely not. Will it prolong and exacerbate the conflict? Well, absolutely. That's the point. And finally, we have this. Federal judge declares Google a monopolist, setting up the stage for a major industry shakeup on Monday. A pivotal ruling from a federal judge declared that Google had breached antitrust regulations in its quest to dominate the online search and advertising sectors. Judge Mehta's decision noted that Google had perpetuated its monopoly through specific strategies that violated Section 2 of the Sherman Act. The lawsuit, which commenced in 2020, later expanded to include multiple states and territories, encapsulating the gravity and scale of the legal scrutiny Google faces. Early in the trial, government attorney Kenneth Dittsner articulated that the proceedings would significantly influence the future of internet governance. And again, we'll get back into that a little bit later if we have time. We have so much to cover here, but that's your Daily Dispatch brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to keep us on the air and in the fight in bringing you this vital information. And our two guests today, I feel like they're like bookends on the collapse of the Western world. We're going to have Lisa Logan at 9. It's in reverse order, but Lisa Logan will talk about social-emotional learning in the just very subtle and devious way. Thank you that... education is being used to weaken, soften up the Western world for all of the disturbing things they have planned for us. And the inevitable result of that is, of course, total economic collapse, which Kirk Elliott will help guide us through. So we'll be talking about the, you know, beginning of and end of the fall of Western civilization today. And that is exactly what it's looking like in the UK, with this full-fledged civil war breaking out there. And it seems like, I was talking to a friend about this, it seems like they obviously have their plans in place where they just poke and poke and poke the English people, just abuse and abuse and abuse and overrun and sideline and just... you know, disrespect upon misery on the UK people, waiting for them to push back, knowing that the moment that they do, they'll call it hate and make it illegal, criminalize it. Because we were talking about the way that they're trying to frame Tommy Robinson, despite the fact that he's on a beach somewhere. And it's almost like, you know, this is just what the program is. This is just what the system says to run. They just had it pre-planned, okay? When people finally push back, we have their leader, Tommy Robinson. We'll blame it on him. Because, of course, the exact reason why they hate Tommy Robinson, because he's not a violent militia leader, because he's not trying to overthrow the UK government, because he's not motivated by racial hate or supremacy or anything of the sort. So, of course, they have to blame him and make it look like the violence is on him, because then you get to criminalize his legal political behavior. You get to act like the tactic of holding marches and spreading awareness and making documentaries, that is really what kicked all of this off. So that's what has to be made illegal. That's what can't be countenanced. People talking to each other and peacefully protesting and holding votes. It's the criminalization of democracy in many ways. That may be sort of a theme here. Let's go now to one of my favorite young activists from England. Clip number 12. This is Jack Anderton talking about the three young girls that were stabbed. The impetus behind this, the outbreak of civil unrest, and how it's just so obvious. It's the migrant crime from the rabid foreigners that are preying on innocent English people. That is, in fact, the real problem, not, you know, soccer hooligans waving a British flag. Let's go now to clip number 12.
The evil attack on a dance school in Southport this week, resulting in the tragic death of three children and many more injured, has shocked and angered our country. Just hours ago, Keir Starmer spoke out about the protests and disorder that have taken place in response to the attack. Instead of focusing on keeping you and your children safe from rampant knife crime, he decided to focus on the protests. This is a distraction. It's a diversion. Three young girls were stabbed to death. That is the real problem, not the protests. Keir Starmer clearly does not care. Throughout his life, Keir Starmer has worked to free dangerous criminals. He cannot and will not keep your family safe. Instead, he wishes to now set up a police state. Not to stop knife crime, but to stop, quote, disorder. Starmer and the Labour Party, along with a complicit media, should not be allowed to divert attention from this horrific attack. Our country is nearing a crossroads. Violence and disorder is not the answer, and peace must prevail. But the genuine anger across our country is rightly felt.
Very powerful stuff, and of course he's exactly right. And again, that is really the key to this. There are two keys to this movement being successful. One is expanding and bringing more people on, and we're going to attempt to do that by showing you videos of what they're up against and the people that are being protected by the administration in the UK, the tactics that they're using to disempower natives and empower foreigners, something that should be outraging to anybody in Britain. Any native British person should be outraged by this. It's not a far-right issue. It's a basic safety and democracy issue, obviously. And that's sort of both, right? It has to expand, and it has to either take over the government, like it has to actually, like, oust Keir Starmer and get a new government in that will actually respond to some of these demands. Or it needs to get the government to at least agree to some major significant changes, like more significant than anything. And I don't even know if that's honestly, I don't even know if that's possible. So I'm just thinking about it. And it's like, well, what about what happened with Brexit, right? Brexit was a giant protest movement in which for like years they had to campaign. They had to work to get this vote. They finally got the government to agree to putting it to a vote. They won the vote. and basically nothing changed. Like, very little has happened. It was all about immigration at the end of the day. The vote for Brexit was a vote to break away from the EU migration, you know, quotas, that sort of thing. And nothing happened. So, how could you even trust an agreement from this government? Like, if this government, if things got so bad, if like a month from now things are still burning and it's still crazy and the government finally says, all right, you know, we need concessions on both sides. We'll lower, you know, immigration. We'll stop the boats coming across. You guys have to stop rioting. Like, finally come to an agreement. Would you trust the UK government to even fulfill what they said they would do? Like, I think you need a full-fledged revolution here, which means you got to keep going and you have to maintain the optics here. Stop burning down the Holiday Inn Express. Instead, clog up the, you know, financial mechanisms of your country. Clog up London. Wouldn't it be nice if, like, all of the climate change protesters could join in? Wouldn't it be nice if all of the various groups, activist groups in the UK could join in, just say, hey, we could solve a lot of these problems if we weren't dealing with massive, unrelenting immigration? If you had the climate change protesters there, you'd get police protection. They'd help you out. You'd get good press. I mean, that's a funny thing. I haven't even thought about that. But, I mean, compare the right-wing protesters to the left-wing protesters. And the right-wing protesters are getting dogs set on them. And the climate protesters are being gently escorted from the British Royal Museum after they destroy a Van Gogh. I haven't seen anything worse than what the Just Stop Oil people do yet. But that's never been a national crisis like this one is. And of course, the videos coming out, try as hard as they might to frame this like an issue of the far right, you know, being violent and insane, they are really having trouble. They're having trouble keeping that lie going. We can go first to clip number two. I'm sure people have seen this quite a bit, but it broke yesterday evening after our show, so our audience might not have seen it. Clip number two, Sky News journalist forced off the air by Muslim protesters in Birmingham. Let's watch.
Community leaders have been speaking to the police as well because...
Free Palestine! Free Palestine! Fuck Israel!
But I think, apologies for the language you're hearing, but a sense of the anger, I think you can hear there.
Yeah, Katie, I think we... Becky, I apologise. We need to leave you there, and Becky, we'll have security there, and we will leave that, and I apologise once again.
Yeah, apologize for showing
the
that.
There.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for letting you see the reality. Whew. Our bad. No, we're sitting there trying to frame the far right as the bad guys when all of a sudden a bunch of black-clad, masked Muslim men started threatening our reporter. Sorry. Sorry. Had to shatter the illusion there for a minute. It didn't end there. Clip number one is that same man in the balaclava, the ski mask, attempting to slash the tires of the Sky News van. I think he did slash them, actually. Let's go to clip one.
Do not mind anyone.
Literally being chased by this guy. They're still covering for him. I'm surprised they let this out. So, yeah, there he's slashing the tires of the van. And yet they're calling the far right the dangerous ones. This really goes on and on. I mean, I have so many videos. So many videos. Clip 21, Birmingham. Birmingham is where it really kicked off yesterday. Here's just one of the attacks of, again, just mobs of armed, masked, black-clad foreigners taking over the streets of England and dragging people out of their cars to beat them. Let's watch clip 21. Finding random UK citizen being forced to flee in their cars. And yet every single mainstream media outlet simply reporting This is far right, and that is the thing, right? It is just the same thing over and over. It's like exhausting having to go through it. It's so simple. It's so simple, all of these things that they do. And I guess it's just what happens when you control the media. Like, when you control the information flow, you can just pull this type of stuff off. Where, you know, I'm just thinking back to, like, you know, all the way back in 2016, when Trump would have a rally and a bunch of Trump supporters would show up with their families in their Trump gear, ready to watch a political speech. Antifa would be waiting for them, attacking them, and then the headline would read, "Violence at Trump rally." More, you know, Trump brings more violence to the city. They're the ones being attacked. So you have these protests, these right-wing nativist protests, nationalist protests, populist protests in England. They get attacked, and it's reported as violence at right-wing protests. I'm sure there's been some. They've burned down buildings. They burned down, you know, these foreign colonies in their own land. No doubt about that. But again, the way you frame it, yeah, if a bunch of Muslims guys show up to a right-wing protest and beat them all up, and the headline reads, "Violence at right-wing protest," it's not technically a lie, right? But it's a complete fabrication. It is a total lie. And at this point, they're not even, you know, keeping their violence to the people protesting them. At this point, they're just roaming around attacking random people in a local pub. Let's go down to clip number 25. Here again is Birmingham.
We're there now. Guys, I'm just coming over to the pub. Showing dominance, asserting dominance over everybody. You know
asserting
what I mean?
Dominance.
Pubs is where it all starts.
This is where it all
you
starts.
You have a bit too much to drink, and it causes you problems. You know?
So these are the Muslim people. This is a stream from the Muslim side saying we are asserting dominance, going and attacking the pub. And it could just be because they serve alcohol, and Muslims are viciously anti-alcohol.
UK brought everybody over. They needed and, guys.
Look, Islam is not a religion where it's like, you know, treat others as you like to be treated. Well, if they want to drink, that's up to them. We, you know, we don't mind. No, like, go to an Islamic country and order a beer. They will, like, get mad at you. It's happened to me. It happened to me in Turkey. So there's wandering around at this point looking for victims. They found them. Clip 28. Here's them attacking that pub as they wander around randomly. And end up viciously attacking people just at the pub, hanging out. Clip 31 is a different angle of this, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, here's from inside the pub. Just literally under siege. Yeah, we need the Winston Churchill speech. We're fighting the beaches. We fight in the valleys, we fight in the rivers. Well, not anymore. Maybe that's the way England used to be. Now you've got literally mobs of foreigners waving foreign flags. And of course, a lot of this is being manipulated politically because of the conflict in the Middle East. But that's not what it's about, and that's not the point of this whatsoever. The consistent belief is people have a right to their own country. So that's true for Palestinians and it's true for the English. Right now it's being set up just to create more hate for the Palestinians to justify attacking them.
Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They're doing such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duver here with me right now. We were one family together. Black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support, and I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, and all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private-labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money. But because of InfoWars MD, They have basically unlimited for us, so that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs, and they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
Go to hell, New World Order.
What kept you?
We are running some old friends.
Is the ship all right?
Seems okay if we can get to it.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. Harrison, visit InfoWars.com/show now.
I hope that old man got the tractor beam out of commissioner. This is going to be a real short trip. Okay, hit.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show today.
We brought in a non-globalist paid actor and did a blind taste test between the mac and cheese from Storable Foods at InfoWarsStore.com and one of America's leading brands. These are the results.
Now go ahead and try the first macaroni and cheese to your right.
It literally smells like nothing.
Mm. What are your first thoughts?
Typical. Takes back to when the babysitter doesn't quite know how to make it like your mom makes it, so it's just not...
Let's move on to the one on your left.
See, this one actually smells like cheese. All right, do I have any on my fork here? Go buy your storable food at InfoWarsStore.com.
Hey, let me start by saying you do a great show.
Thank you.
Hey, let me point out that I took X2 iodine. I started taking that stuff. The best iodine I think I ever found is what you guys are selling.
When did you start taking it?
About 4 years ago, I had high blood pressure, and I was on blood pressure medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I started eating a little better, but my blood pressure stayed high. And when I took X2 iodine, after about 3 or 4 weeks, I think my body detoxified of a bunch of metals and stuff that my body was storing. And my blood pressure came down to perfect level. And I tell people the only thing I did was X2 iodine. And even though I do think all your other products are good, I recommend to anybody that they start with X2 iodine because it detoxifies your body and kind of kicks your natural DNA into full force. So in my life, I found X2 iodine the best. I tried other iodines and they didn't have the same effect. But so X2 iodine, I really wanted to point that out.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest joining me now is Kirk Elliott, precious metals dealer, cutting-edge precious metals dealer with a heart. Dr. Kirk Elliott's team redefines service, turning dreams into reality, putting people over profit. You can follow Mr. Elliott at X at Kirk Elliott, PhD. His website is kepm.com. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Elliott.
It's so great to be with you, Harrison. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm doing great because I got no money in the stock market, but that might not be the case for some of our listeners. So I simply avoid participating in the market too much because it all baffles and confuses me, and I trust things that I can hold and not numbers on a screen. So I'm a little bit, you know, always a little bit lost when it comes to the economy, and I freely admit that. So just give me the basics. What is happening right now with the sell-off? Why are stocks so low? And what does that mean for our average viewer?
Well, this is really big. And your comment kind of made me laugh because it's like everybody always complains. It's like, I need more money to invest. I need to invest in the stock market. And for the first time, how a day can change everything. You say, I'm so glad I didn't have any money in the stock market, right? But it's big. This is big, Harrison. So kind of take a little bit of a step back to actually explain what's happening today. It all stems with Japan. And you know, I've been talking on InfoWars for I don't know, 9 months now about, you know, how things are overvalued, right? You've got too much stimulus money that's gone into the system, keeping things propped up when there's no revenue. And we've been predicting a crash of the markets, not just here, but globally for literally 9 months, right? So, but I didn't think it was going to be Japan that would be the spark that caused the global contagion to happen, but it was. So if you go all the way back to, I mean, decades, Japan has actually basically defied the trend of having to, since COVID even, starting to raise interest rates. They've kept low interest rates for decades, artificially low, sometimes negative, literally negative interest rates. Because in Japan, they have so much debt that if you start to raise rates even a little, it will cause a huge recession because of all the debt. You know, and people have their debt payments and everything else. So if you start raising rates and jacking them up, people aren't going to be able to afford them. And they didn't want to have a banking failure or people starting to pull out of the banks and delinquencies and defaults and everything else. So they kept rates artificially low. I mean, literally, Harrison, people complain in America how much their mortgage payments are. Imagine a 30-year mortgage isn't really the reality in Japan. They have like longer ones, like 50 years, sometimes multi-generation mortgages because people can't afford to live in Tokyo, right? So the inflationary pressures are massive. They've been, you know, goosing the system and printing yen like there's no tomorrow for the longest time and having cheap money to not have the markets implode. Well, a couple months ago, they decided, let's consider raising interest rates because our inflation is so much that if we don't start raising rates to slow down that inflation, we're going to go into a hyperinflationary spiral like Venezuela or Argentina or Zimbabwe, right? They got to the point of critical mass. So recently they just decided let's raise the rates on the Japanese yen a quarter of a point. Well, this upset the apple cart. Number one, they have way too much money in debt, and so that caused them to go into recession. So they raised rates in the middle of a massive economic slowdown in Japan. That's like the kiss of death. But they had to. It was like this catch-22, right? It's like, if we don't raise rates, inflation is going to go through the roof. If we raise rates to slow down inflation, we're going to cause a recession or depression, right? So they chose, let's raise rates a little bit because we don't want this inflationary spiral. So what's bigger than that, though, is that what's called the Japanese yen carry trade. So imagine this little scenario. So they've had rates like zero for decades, and this carry trade is about $20 trillion, meaning countries, investors, businesses, hedge funds, whatever, can borrow money from Japan for like zero and then just go to America and invest it at 4%. And it's like free money, right? It's like this arbitrage. So when they started raising rates, it upset the apple cart with that carry trade and it's over, right? This is lights out. Now, what's going to intensify that is Jerome Powell at the Fed saying, we've done such an amazing job, America, that we can actually lower interest rates in September, right? We've paused forever. We've paused for the last like 11 meetings. We're going to lower rates because we've won the battle against inflation. It's like, no, you haven't. Right. You haven't. What you're realizing is America is tapped out. People don't have enough money to live. They're living hand to mouth every single month. Most of America is. And at these interest rates that you've got, you're going to create, like what Japan did, a recessionary spiral. So they said, let's lower interest rates and we'll use the story that we've won the battle against inflation. It's like, Ask anybody watching this show, Harrison, if they think that they've won the war against inflation when they go to the gas station or the grocery store, have to pay their insurance bill or their rent or their mortgage. No, they haven't. Right. So when America lowers rates while Japan is raising rates, it multiplies the negative impact of that carry trade. Right. So now markets are reeling. The largest bank in Japan was down 21% yesterday alone.
Wow.
Right. And if you look at like the top 10 banks in Japan, down 11%, down 15%, down 9%. I mean, that's just day one. Right. This is going to continue on. So now the Fed and their ultimate wisdom, which is anti-wisdom, says maybe we should have an emergency meeting to actually lower rates like immediately and more than what we thought, like half a point instead of a quarter in September. Well, that would. So here's the problem. This is truly a catch-22, Harrison, because if you lower interest rates in America, you actually destroy the economy of the rest of the world, right? Because all the people that own treasuries, right? So if you raise interest rates, you destroy the American public because of all the debt that we have. So what are they going to do? Are they going to destroy the world's economy? Or are they going to destroy Americans' livelihood? Those are the really two options that they have in front of them, because they've lived a lifestyle at the Fed and in America of unsustainable debt. You know, this anti-biblical position of, oh, a borrower is a slave to the lender, Proverbs tells us. And so our whole system is built on debt. We are economic slaves to the lender, and now we have to pay the piper. This is the beginning of an unraveling of finance as we know it.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense, and it just seems like this system was almost built to fail. It seems like there's no good way out of this, and it seems like you can sort of put off the collapse for as long as you want, but the longer you put it off, the worse the collapse eventually is, and it feels like we've been teetering on that edge for the last, 10, 15 years at this point? I mean, how long has this bubble been growing, and how big is the explosion going to be when it pops?
Oh, well, it's been so it started, I would say, back in the early 1900s with the emergence of the Federal Reserve, where right. You got rid of tangible backing to a currency. We used to have a currency that was backed by gold, meaning we had to have discretion in our printing. We couldn't print money unless there was gold backing for it. So when the Federal Reserve started, it started this. But really, the multiplication of the demise happened in the early 70s when Nixon closed the gold window completely, even for countries wanting to trade back and forth and say, hey, we'll take our settlement with each other in gold instead of dollars. Well, Nixon said,
Stay with us. Kirk Elliott on the other side explaining how we got here and what comes next. Stay with us.
Tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know, we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you, and we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product, and then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup, and I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we're even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkowicz has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reward a product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night's Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Folks, this is the American Journal. My guest is Kirk Elliott of Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. You can find their website at kepm.com, and you can follow Mr. Elliott himself, Dr. Elliott, I should say, at Kirk Elliott PhD on X. And of course, it's like no matter what question you ask about the economy, it all seems to go back to that fabled date, 1971, and there's the great website, WTF Happened in 1971, where you can see just about any statistic you can graph with, you know, the economy takes a divergent path in 1971. Income, rate goes down, suddenly splitting, productivity versus compensation, real GDP, real wages and trade policies. I mean, everything changes in 1971. And this is really the lesson that Ron Paul taught all of us, right, is that the head of the snake is the Federal Reserve, and that if you're just trying to patch up all of these problems, the inflation, the whatever, I mean, whatever it is, you're not going to solve it. You're treating the symptoms, not the underlying cause. The underlying cause is the Federal Reserve and the failure to have our currency backed by anything at all. But now I guess, you know, our dollar is backed by war, right? It's backed by our projection of strength overseas, keeping people on the dollar. That's going away, isn't it? How much is this economic downturn related to the prospects of World War III on the horizon, Kirk?
Most of it, like literally almost all of it, I would say, Harrison. I think that's a very intuitive thing to say, because most people wouldn't look at it like that. But, you know, in 1971, when we got rid of the gold standard, we still had backing to our currency, but it changed to oil, right? So when we went on the petrodollar in the early 70s, when Kissinger cut a deal with Saudi Arabia and said, hey, you trade all of your oil in dollars in exchange for military protection, And so that's what caused the backing of our currency. Why we were able to print so much money and still have demand for our currency is because all oil was traded in U.S. dollars. Well, think about that. They wanted military protection in exchange for using our dollar, right? So in the weird sense, as much as the Middle Eastern nation, the Arab nations, the Muslim community hates America, we're the great Satan, right? That's what they call us, and Israel's the little Satan. They funded our economy by selling all of their oil in U.S. dollars, and they just have to be ticked about that, right? So when the BRICS nations really started to actually grow and thrive and get bigger, in January, the BRICS nations added United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Iran into the mix, right? So now most of the oil producers, OPEC, is part of the BRICS nations. So here's the thing. Do these OPEC-producing Middle Eastern nations need military protection anymore that Kissinger promised them? No, they don't. Because when they're part of the BRICS nations, they now have Russia and China for military protection as part of their coalition. So goodbye, petrodollar. Now the U.S. dollar has no demand, right? Because no more petrodollar. We have no demand. So now we've got to print our way out of everything like every other country. So here's where economic conditions ultimately start to get people really ticked. When you start stealing money from other countries' wallets, it becomes squirrely, it gets bad. And those economic problems often lead into political or geopolitical problems, which would be war. So to a long answer to your short question, yes, I think we are on the verge of World War III. And the power shift, it's like this pendulum shifting moment from the West to the East as London and the United States are losing their banking power, their monetary might, and it's going to Beijing, right? And so we're seeing that happen right underneath our nose and at a supernatural rate of speed, right? So who else is seeing this? So the weird thing is, you know, people can talk about conspiracies or whatever all the time, right? But over the last 14 days, Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, the Oracle of Omaha, one of the best investors of all time, in the last 2 weeks sold $3.8 billion of Bank of America, one of his favorite stocks that they own. Why would he sell it? Why would he sell his favorite? When people sell things, Harrison, like let's put you and I in the picture. We sell things because we need money. Or if we're investors, we sell things because we expect what we have to go down in the future and we want to lock in our profits now. Right. Warren Buffett doesn't need money. He's sitting now on a record $277 billion worth of cash. Right. He doesn't need money. So what is he doing? He's selling things now because he doesn't believe that they're going to go up in the future. He believes they're going to come down. What else did he sell on Friday? He sold half of his Apple stock. So Warren Buffett doesn't believe in the banking sector. He doesn't believe in the tech sector. He's selling it. And this happens the day before the Japanese market sell-off. What did he know? Well, he's not necessarily a prophet, right? But he knows people at the World Economic Forum and everything else. He knows what's kind of going to happen. But you know what? So do listeners on InfoWars. Because like Alex Jones and I, and even previous show I did with you, we've been talking about this for 9 months. This isn't a surprise to us. So he's just doing the same thing that we've been talking about for 9 months, right? So he's getting out of Dodge because there's bad things coming. And then you add to this mix, Harrison, Israel being, you know, attacked on all sides, military conflict, that conflict in the Middle East creates fear and people start to make stupid decisions when they're fearful. Then you add to that the new pandemic that's coming, right, that they've already told us about. They're projecting it. It's like, no, this bird flu is going to be bad. It has a 20% mortality rate. COVID only had 0.6. Just yesterday, HHS decided, oh, let's actually start to do the testing and get everything ready for new PCR tests, new vaccines, right? And there's mandates that are going to be coming. I can sense it. I can feel it. I can smell it. You have all of those happening at the same time, economic collapse. But what thrives during times like this? Gold and silver do, tangible assets. it's not fake, right? It's not something digital. It's not paper. It's real, tangible assets. They do very well during times like this. Well, it's like, we have to answer this question. Well, then why did gold and silver sell off over the last couple of weeks with everything else? Because the sell-off in the markets from Japan and everything else that's been happening was so extreme that people got scared. And they said, I'm selling everything. I don't know what to keep, right? So even gold and silver came down some, but not as much as everything else. And to me, it's going to go back up because the fundamentals of the markets did not change. It was the knee-jerk reaction to people selling everything. But in times of crisis, in times of chaos, people always look for quality. They have this safe haven investment. Gold and silver have always done that, which is why, Harrison, I will shout it from the rooftops till there's no one else to listen because it's that important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just makes sense. And it's what the people have been warning about this, have been saying for so long. And again, I just wonder, I mean, how much of this, what comes next, I guess is my question. What comes next? Because it seems like either we're going into a very troubling economic situation or they might do something extreme like some sort of cyber attack and they'll just take out the banking system entirely and say we have to replace it all with the digital currency because of, you know, that old system failed. Now we have to do the CBDCs. I mean, are they setting us up for a total shift in the way the market functions by launching something like that?
I think so, because who in their right mind would want CBDCs if we were to say, well, CBDCs are basically intrusion on your bank account, the ability to cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up with ours with a flip of a switch. Yep. We don't like your politics. We don't like your religion. We don't like that you put gas in your truck or you eat meat rather than bugs, right? Yep. Anything, right? Anything they could flip off that switch. It's like, who would want that? Nobody. But if the crisis is so bad and banks are failing and people are running out of money and you've got wars and rumors of wars, people will say, okay, government, please just fix it. We'll give up our freedoms in exchange for perceived security and peace. This is what's coming. Now, the problem is we saw it with CrowdStrike last week, right? When CrowdStrike went down and you had airlines, you know, Delta, United.
Because they're all running on the same system, yeah.
They're all running on this Microsoft Windows Server system that CrowdStrike was on. And that CrowdStrike actually helped, you know, most of the Fortune 500 companies with their cybersecurity. So this impacted the world. It grounded airlines. Banks weren't able to wire monies for a while. Hospitals couldn't do surgeries because their computer systems didn't work. It's like, really? We feel safe with a digital currency when something as simple as a software upgrade could shut everything down?
It's so absurd. They're setting us up for collapse. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much for keeping us on the ball. At Kirk Elliott, PhD, KEPM.com. Thank you for joining us. And get gold, folks. Spend your money on something you can hold.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions of fake money. There's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy, the industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.